From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit union people, credit union ideas.
Welcome to the CUNA News Podcast. I'm Assistant Editor Brock Fritz, and I'll be joined by three CUNA Council's members on today's episode focused on expected opportunities and challenges in 2023. Elevation's Credit Union Chief Operating Officer Ray Lindley stops by to discuss how credit unions are handling the most unique economic landscape of his career. Connect Credit Union EVP and Chief Operations Officer Cynthia Ryan sees opportunities and challenges as chances to learn. And Vantage West Credit Union Chief Lending Officer Jeremy Pinard is balancing the portfolio to keep the Tucson, Arizona Credit Union prepared for anything. We'll discuss it all with each of these guests, who will join the podcast one at a time. First, let's get to my conversation with Lindley. I wanted to start by doing a little introduction then, your role, how long you've been at the credit union, the basics.
So I am a chief operating officer here at Elevations Credit Union. So that means I have responsibility for all of our member-facing areas, mortgage, retail, commercial banking, business banking, wealth management, digital, branches, contact center role. Been here 9 years. And then I also serve as chair of the CUNA Lending Council. Okay. And I've been on that council now for 7 years.
What are the biggest surprises you've seen from 2022, whether to your credit union or the outlook as a whole?
Yeah, I would say probably our credit union is very similar to whatever else is seen. You know, what we have seen probably the sharpest rise in interest rates that we have seen in, nobody can remember when, at least 30, 40 years. And, most credit unions and us started this year in a position where we had a lot of liquidity, excess deposits, and, mortgage refi was big in 20 and 21. And then with, inflation and all the things that happened, we saw just an amazingly sharp rise in interest rates. So that did a couple things. Number one, is it changed the type of loans we were doing, where in the past there was a lot of mortgage and refinance volume. That dried up with rates moving up. And at the same time, most credit unions, including us, really started doing a lot of home equity lending. A good portion of our mortgage lending, we can deliver straight to the agencies and we can do the production, but we don't necessarily keep it on our balance sheet. Things like equity lending in particular, we keep on our balance sheets. At the same time, credit unions really started to capture a larger and larger share of the auto lending market. And so I think the major change is rates move so fast that more of the loans that we were doing were going on our balance sheet, number one. The second thing that we saw was that they were moving so fast, many credit unions did not raise their rates fast enough. And so what that caused is credit unions to be putting on their books loans at a lower interest rate. And then within a few months later, our funding costs, which is our deposits, were raising so much that credit unions were having a hard time matching. So now we're at the point where we have credit unions that are close to, 100% loan to share. And our funding cost, i.e. our cost of deposits, are rising at a rate, but we're stuck with maybe loans that were originated earlier in the year at a lower interest rate. So that's probably the number one pain point thing that we're seeing hit credit unions and all of us right now.
Obviously, there were a lot of changes in 2022. So Who knows, to some extent, maybe, but what's the lending outlook for your credit union in 2023?
Yeah. And one thing we've learned is we've made predictions in October and November every year in our planning cycle. And for the last 5 years, our macro environment has changed in January, February, and March, with the pandemic and the inflation and rates. So our ability to guess what's going to happen is not good, I'll tell you that. But I think what we see so far in 2023 is probably a high likelihood of a recession. We have seen in recent weeks maybe some very early, I'd say, indications that maybe inflation is coming down a little bit. So that's a positive sign. But, we expect the Fed to continue to raise rates, early in 2023. We expect rates to be at or a little bit higher than they are today. And what that means is it'll put a damper on mortgage lending, number one. And based on what we see in the recession, could have impacts on things like employment. It could have impacts on credit performance, people's ability to pay their loans. And so I think we're all being very kind of cautious about that because we think that may happen. The other thing that I think we can see in 2023 is what we saw in 2022 is a continual affordability challenge with housing in most of our markets. And, you know, homes were going up in value, as you know, tremendously over the last 4 or 5 years. And then you couple in the inflation effect and higher interest rates, and it just is a triple whammy to the affordability, especially for first-time home buyers. And I think we see that as probably one of the biggest challenges we're all going to have to figure out how to handle in 2023.
Are there any opportunities you see in the year ahead?
Yeah, I think we're starting to see supply chain issues lessen, especially. So I think for credit unions, auto lending continues to be a good opportunity in 2023 as we start to see some of those issues come down. Home equity lending, I think we definitely see as a continued opportunity. And then many of us, as we started to kind of balance out our business models, there will be some opportunities and renewed interest in business and small business banking and small business lending as, we start to get back to what I would call a more normalized economic activity after the pandemic. So I think there's opportunities for credit unions to serve the small business market. And I think auto lending will continue to stay strong as well. And then I think probably the biggest challenge in front of us as credit unions is if this recession does happen and if we do see some of those effects, we are probably better positioned than anybody else to help consumers through those challenging times. And I think that's probably our responsibility and our privilege, but it's also our option in 2023 is to really be there for people if that does happen and if they see those struggles.
If we talk again at this time next year, what factors would you consider a success for your credit union in 2023?
Yeah, I think we got to navigate through the rate environment that we're in, make sure that we can match, deposits and funding with the loan demand that's out there. I think that's going to be a challenge in 2023 to be able to get through 2023, keep our deposits and raise our deposits at the appropriate level so we're not having to rely on borrowings. That would be a good success if we had a low borrowing position in 2023. I think if we were able to, continue our focus on auto lending, equity lending, I think that would be a strong focus. And then really, I think the biggest success for us would be prove our ability to help people when they're going through tough times. And we should see that impact us in member growth and much more attraction to the credit union. I think our biggest success in 2023 is prove to the general, society that we are here in tough times. And this is an opportunity for credit unions to win the marketplace because we can serve better than the banks can serve.
What is the message that you personally would like to get out there about credit unions?
Yeah, I think, and I think all of us in the credit union movement, we need to help each other with this. But this is the opportunity when people need help and things aren't good. When things are good, anybody's willing to help you, right? When your credit's good and your income's good and you've been on the job for 5 years and homes, all rates are low. It's times like this where we prove what we are as an industry. And I think we all have to take that seriously, that this is an opportunity for us to prove that. And we have to be committed to doing that.
Times like this, is this kind of the most, interesting or uncertain time in your career?
Well, I'll go back to the financial crisis of 08, 09. Okay. That was definitely a tough time. I think in the early 80s, with inflation and interest rates was a tough time. I think this one is, and here's why I'd say it is, we're coming off of a pandemic unlike nobody had ever seen, right, in 2020, 2021. And we were starting to feel like, okay, we're getting back to whatever the new normal is. And then inflation and rates and everything hit. And so I think coming off of that, combined with economically what's going on, probably the most interesting or unique time that I've ever experienced.
Advice for other younger lenders, maybe early in their career.
Yeah. Some of us old fuddy-duddies always like to talk back of the old days, when I went through and we went through. And, we talk about some of us who were around in the early 80s and in the financial crisis of 8 or 9. This is a learning opportunity for everybody. Lending is easy in good times. Lending is easy when rates are low and the economy is great and employment's awesome. And there's unique challenges. this is when we're going to get a lot of experience, a lot of learnings, number one. And number two is my advice is this is an opportunity because this is when people need help. And this is where you set yourself up as an individual, as a credit union, and as an industry to prove what you've been saying for all these years. And so I use with some of my newer lenders on my team, this is proof in the pudding time, and this is education time. And those are the two things I think I would say to younger lenders that they should focus on.
Now let's hear from Connect Credit Union's Cynthia Ryan.
First, why don't you just do an introduction to yourself?
Sure. Yep. My name's Cynthia Ryan, and I'm the EVP Chief Operations Officer at Connect Credit Union. Basically see over all of lending operations, call center, all the digital channels at the credit union. I've been here for 9 years. I've been in the industry for 23. I was a previous credit union for 16 years, so quite a bit of time in the industry. I think at this point, I'm kind of committed to the credit union industry.
Sure. So this is going to be, I'm talking to a few people about the past year and next year. So for 2022, what are some takeaways that you had or some lessons that 2022 brought?
Yeah, I think for us flowing out of, not really out of the pandemic, because I don't know if I can even at this point say we're out, but
I know.
Feels like we're out. We implemented online chat and video with GLIA. I'm sure there was a lot of different partners and a lot of people did that, I think, during that time period. So for us, that was really important to add to our digital channels and offer that. Another lesson I think that we learned in implementation, we became CDFI certified. We also applied for a CDFI grant during that time. So that was a really good learning experience for the credit union. Hopefully that will come to fruition in 2023. But I think that was another one of some opportunities of things we can do as a credit union to continue to serve the mission of credit unions while still sort of improving in the technology. So I know we saw decreased fee income, and I know that several other credit unions in the industry also saw that. So from a financial standpoint, I think that was how do we work through that, overcome that? You know, what do we do to make up for that type of thing? I know we had several discussions internally here for that. And I think sort of your general, right, regulation, cybersecurity threat, staffing, I think those are all lessons and takeaways from 2022 still that, you know, I think those are all pretty common in the overall sense of all credit unions. But those are a few things that we did, I think, in 2022 that were some good takeaways for us in sort of moving our brand forward.
So moving forward into 2023, what opportunities do you see?
I think we're going to continue focusing on being more member-centric in our processes, our service, how we deliver products. Digital transformation, I think, is important and really taking a look at, I think that's that next step of you have the products, but now what are the pain points? I don't think we've really dug into those yet as far as looking, I think from our standpoint, we did a huge system conversion in 2019. So for us, efficiency, we're probably, from a system standpoint, pretty efficient. That's one of the things I'm hearing from credit unions as a whole, though, is process automation, partnering with AI, partnering with fintech, and really the digital side of doing things, whether that's, again, we've been doing online account opening, online loans. So we have that down. Is a matter of, are we doing that process, although we have it, are we completing that process in the best manner and in the most efficient way for the members so that they're not feeling like it's taking, you know, 3-4 days to do that, or obviously it's not, but sure, I mean, yeah. You know, that type of, you know, a bad experience in that, even though we have had those for a couple of years.
Sure.
So I think that's probably is honing in on what we have and just improving it, making it better, maybe adding a couple things. I know that this year we started working on contactless debit cards. Again, we already have the mobile wallet options for like Google Pay, Apple Pay, those types of things. Education, you know, I think education is another one with the members. We have those products, but are they using it? No. So how do we get the members? You know, we're looking at Zelle, although we have a real-time payments option. We are looking at Zelle because that's just like the Kleenex, the Coke, you know, the recognizable one as of right now. So, yeah, some of those things, I think that continuing in digital transformation. I know I've looked at a couple different vendors with AI type things I think for us right now, that's a little out of reach, but definitely I think keeping that in the forefront. Crypto's out there. Yeah. We know that's been a big up and down, I think, 2022. So looking forward, I think not leaving that off the radar, you know, keeping up with, you know, what is going on in that space. And then just digital. I mean, you know, there's some credit unions I've talked to that are meeting in Sandbox with their VR glasses and things like that. Again, I don't think we're at that point, but I think being aware of that as a leader in the industry, leader at my credit union, I think it's important to make sure that we're paying attention to those trends as well.
Yeah, there's a lot to keep an eye on kind of these days.
Yeah, there really is. And some of that's pretty far out there. I mean, just in crypto, I think learning, you know, one of the things we were talking about with crypto was like, okay, do we need to do like a crypto 101 for our staff, you know, with, you know, so we do have members that call in and say, you know, can I, you know, buy crypto? Can I do that? You know, and we're like, you can't, you know, yes, you can do this or that, but we don't have anything, let's say right now in mobile banking that allows that per se. So I think, yeah, definitely keeping it in what I call the back burner, you know, those things that you can kind of leave them simmering there that, you know, but you do have to pay attention to them.
So on the other hand, challenges for the next year, what do you see ahead?
Always a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Finding and retaining the right people. That is probably my number one. That's a lot of what I focus on in general. So I think that's probably one of the main things I'm concerned, excited, but challenge, yeah. Increased costs in contracts. We've seen almost every vendor contract come back and they've utilized their clause to increase their prices. I'm sure their costs are probably going up too as well, but I think really paying attention to those contracts, and if they don't make sense, looking for those other vendors. I know there's at least one or two that we've swapped out because of the amount of the increase. And those aren't changes we've planned, so I think that can be a challenge when you get I already have a project for 2023 that I wasn't expecting because of those increase in costs. For credit unions overall, I would say liquidity risk is obviously a top priority. I've heard that several times. I'm seeing that now even in offerings of institutional CDs and things like that. So, and I think one other thing for the industry kind of going even bigger, I guess like the 10,000 foot level is remaining relevant. Mm-hmm. I think we still have a challenge as an industry of, you know, what's a credit union and remaining relevant. I know that the awareness campaign for the states that are still doing it is seeing some traction, and I know they're shifting their goals. We are a part of that awareness campaign that people can open your eyes to credit unions type of thing. That's obviously evolved quite a bit since then. But I think that's probably the industry's biggest challenge is remaining relevant.
So you mentioned some strategies, initiatives a little bit. Anything you want to add to that is in the works or you're thinking about putting in the works?
Well, the CDFI grant, I think, is probably the one I'm most excited about. If we were to receive that grant, obviously that goes to help people in the community that may not otherwise have been helped. Our particular grant is for FEMA HUD of households to be able to get auto loans. In South Florida, you pretty much can't get anywhere without a vehicle. There's not that public transportation aspect here in most of South Florida. So you pretty much have to have a vehicle to be able to get to work. Otherwise, you're, you know, might be taking six buses and, you know, 2 hours of getting in and 2 hours of getting back, which obviously is not the most efficient way to get to work and back. So I'm most excited about the potential of getting that CDFI grant to really help the community. It's a passion of mine, I think, is to show what we can do when we help the community. Obviously, you know, all the other things that we have, I think, are pretty similar. You know, as I mentioned previously, you said digital transformation and kind of digging into that process, making sure that it's a good experience for our members.
So if we talked at this time next year, what will a successful year have been for Connect?
It'll be a whirlwind. We'll be there and it'll be like, whoo, yeah, remember last year? For us, for sure, membership growth. That's one of our top priorities. We've seen either flat or declining membership. So for us, membership growth is going to be a successful year. Loan growth, obviously, for us. Maintaining our capital, staff retention is huge. We've done a very good job of employees who have been here quite a while, but the newer employees, I would say under 5 years, there's been a challenge of retaining. And we're using Net Promoter, so we obviously survey our members, and we've had a nice high net promoter score. So maintaining that would be another portion of our successful year. And those really key areas end up being our what our board looks at us for as a successful year, and internally as the management, what we look at.
So what advice would you have, whether it's for like someone young in the operations or just other leaders?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, CUNA just did an emerging leaders conference. It was in Fort Lauderdale, which I live in Fort Lauderdale, so I was able to go, which was fantastic.
Nice.
So I think continuous learning, that's really important. I think we talked about a bunch of things, and I think always learning about things, being curious about those items, setting goals for yourself in addition to whatever set for your company and the credit union. You're your own best advocate. So I would say if there's something that you want to do or want to learn or want to accomplish, you are your own best advocate. I think that's served me well in my career so far. And I think as operations specifically, there's so much. We always talk about this in executive council in operations, like literally if it doesn't fit in specifically to another area, I think it gets thrown into operations.
Sure.
So we have so many different things. And then we partner with, right? We partner with the technology group. We partner with all the other areas, I think, at any point in time. So for us, there's a lot of different things on our plate. So I think focus might be another one. Control what you can control, I guess, is a common thing you've seen. But you're your own best advocate is always my favorite. As far as, you know, if you want to be promoted or you want to raise or you want anything, you want to go to a conference, you want to go to a learning, you're your best advocate.
Finally, let's hear from Vantage West Credit Union's Jeremy Pinard.
I'm Jeremy Pinard with Vantage West Credit Union. I'm the chief lending officer here. I've been here almost 2 years now.
So 2 years, you've got your feet pretty wet there. What are your current focuses as chief lending officer?
Yeah. You know, I think for the last couple of years, we've been really focusing on how do we partner with the right platforms or the right partnerships with fintechs to create a little more scalable model and drive more diverse portfolio. So that was our kind of focus for the last couple of years. And we've been able to do that. We'll partner with people like Upstart, Origins, and others. I think now what we're looking at is how do we create a more refined and better digital experience and brand in branch experience, or maybe I even call it omni-channel experience, that someone that walks in the branch. So we're really trying to work through that. How do we improve that experience in the coming years? And as well as we're going to launch a partnership with Zest AI to really try to approve more of our members. We have a target market group that we go after called Aspiring and Middle Market. And those individuals, we're not approving as much as we should. We only do about 20% of our business to those people, and we want to do a larger percentage.
So this past year and kind of the last couple of years have been a unique situation, obviously. What are some takeaways from 2022?
Yeah, I wish I had a crystal ball in January of 2022 because I never would have saw this liquidity crunch coming, or at least not coming as fast. We knew it was going to come, but it came so fast that we probably would have made a few different decisions. Even though we're having an incredible year, if you take out some of our investments that we have no control over, we're really doing a great year from a ROA standpoint. But I would say the liquidity is probably the shot most unique thing that I've had to deal in my career in all of credit union time. I don't think we've ever experienced something like this before. I think this is going to be something that's going to bleed over into next year. And I worry about some of the credit unions out there who haven't been raising their rates quick enough. I think I just saw an article from somebody that credit unions had the highest origination volume in Q3. And it looks like it's going to be again in Q4 in auto lending.
Okay.
And it's because they're still offering extremely low rates compared to the banks. So I think that was one thing I wish I'd had a better insight into. I think another unique thing is the transition for competition for high performing talent. I think we're starting to see that level off. And it was, you know, we were all competing against everybody, but now some of the big fintechs, technology companies had started to lay off. I think that's subsiding a little bit. So that was unique this year that I've never seen before in my time in the credit union industry. I think those were probably the two biggest ones, you know, that compensation, competition for talent, and then liquidity.
And obviously, you still don't have a crystal ball, I assume. So what about 2023? What's kind of your thoughts going into it?
I think for us, it's going to be a challenging year. I think it's going to be a challenging year for a lot of financial institutions. But I think for us at Advantage West, we've made the commitment to continue to invest into that technology infrastructure so that when we come out of the recession, depending on how deep and how long it is, we'll be ready to compete at a scale in a scalable fashion, right? I think previously we weren't very scalable. I also do think that it's going to be a rough year. I just don't know how we get around it. And the one thing that we're looking at is we're a big indirect lending shop. We have about $1 billion on the books of auto loans, and that's, you know, of $1.6 billion in total loans. So that's a large percentage. And we did a lot of volume the last couple of years when values were extremely high. Mm. And now when these values come down and, you know, as the manufacturing and OEMs start offering, you know, crazy incentives, you know, what is that going to do to our portfolio? One thing we're watching closely is strategic auto loan defaults, very similar to 2008, 2009-ish. People would go get another house before they walked away from their house. I think that's going to happen with our car business. I think people are going to realize they have a 2018 Suburban that they overpaid for it. They owe more than it's worth now. And now they can go get a 2022 or a 23 at the same price as they owe.
Yeah.
They're going to go get that Suburban and then walk away and say, here you go.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably not going to be a large percentage, but I think we're going to see it hit some credit unions that have gone deep, including us, and we'll just have to account for that. The one thing I'll say about that is I think we all have to take a step back is, you know, we've been at historical low charge-off and delinquency rates that we should be able to absorb those losses, especially now that we're, you know, our average coupon on our indirect paper is close to 8.5-9% now. So that's one thing I'm looking out for and concerned about. I think there'll be some rough waters, so we're all going to have to weather the storm, so to speak. But I will say, I think there's going to be a huge opportunity for credit unions when we start going through this recession period and the Fed has to bring rates down again. If credit unions aren't in the process of setting up their refinance partnerships, I think that's a big mistake. Okay. We are setting up one, we're going to set up another. So when those rates change, they need to be ready not only on the auto side to refinance paper and not let it go out the door, or go get paper that's, you know, at a bank or somewhere else. But also the mortgage business, you know, we're putting on mortgage rates, you know, anywhere from 6-ish to 7-ish rate, maybe a little lower today, but rates come down 100 basis points, people are going to refinance. And if you're not in front of your member ahead of time, someone else is going to be.
Sure.
So I think that's something that scares me for, or concerns me for 2023 and 2024.
If we were to sit down at this time next year, and like think about what made a successful 2023, is a lot of it just doing that to be prepared for what does happen? Or are there any other specific things you look at?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think we got to take our assessment of where are our capabilities not where they need to be to capture that business when it turns. Like one of the things I talked about the lending leadership at Vantage West is that, you know, we sort of missed it with the HELOCs, you know.
Okay.
2 years ago, we should have been fixing our HELOC process because it wasn't a big business while mortgage rates were low, but we knew that mortgage rates would go up at some point. And so we've been, in 2022, we've been really trying to fix that HELOC process and experience and make it as short as possible. I think it's the same thing that's going to happen. You're going to have to look in 2023 and 2024, how do I build the capabilities to capture the refinance business, whether it's auto, whether it's you know, mortgages, and I would even say whether it's consumer unsecured personal term loans, right? When those rates that we're booked in today drop 100, 200 basis points, people will just refinance. And if you're not ready, the fintechs are going to be right there taking that business.
So you mentioned auto lending, but is there just a specific type of loan you're interested in going into this year, whether you think it's going to be fruitful or just anything that interests you?
I think for us, it's about now creating a more balanced portfolio. So, okay. You know, we're a huge auto lender, but we needed to get diversification through, you know, building up our HELOC book of business, still getting some mortgages out there, even though it's really competitive, and really trying to build a more rounded portfolio because we don't know, we have scenarios that we think what's going to happen, right, in 2023 and 2024, but we don't really know. So how do you prepare against those scenarios, in my opinion, is having a really great balanced book of business.
Sure.
But also creating those levers that you can pull when you need them. And one thing I would just say that we're really focused on the latter part of this year and into next year is building out a capital market strategy. Like, how do we price our loans? We have a pricing mechanism to price loans that we want on our books. But how do we price and structure loans that we can put are saleable in the secondary market so that we don't have to shut off our funnel? We can just say, hey, we're going to take 30% of this month's origination, keep it on our books. 70% we're going to sell it in the secondary market for a gain, hopefully, or even just a break even.
Yeah.
Just to keep that engine running.
Okay.
So I think that would be my, if you ask what I think we're going to focus on, it's more of that balanced portfolio, but building out those capabilities to have that lever to pull in the secondary market.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And some of the whole conversation has been advice you might give other lenders. But what else would you tell maybe specifically young lenders?
I guess what I'll say is, and I'll take a, you know, a little cue for myself this year is, again, don't overestimate, underestimate the scenarios that you think are going to happen, right? Build out a lending plan that says, hey, if this scenario happens, this is what we can do. This scenario happens, this is what we can do. And if it happens, this happens, we can still adjust and be okay. Create that optionality in your lending business. And I think the other thing I would tell young lenders is that young lending leaders is that it's really important to build an operationally efficient and scalable model. I know we want to be everything to all members, and I understand that because, you know, they're our owners, but at some point, know where you can compete, know where you can't, and you have to partner with somebody or maybe even get out of the business. I learned that a long time ago, you know, and it was a great example of golf course loans. You know, at a couple credit unions, we did a couple golf course loans and they didn't golf course loans and they didn't go well.
Sure.
Well, you're either in that business or you're not. Just that, like when I was at Alliant, we were in the RV business. We knew what we were doing and we did it well when I was there, and I do it even better now. So I think just knowing where you can compete and can't, and understanding where you can create a scalable lending model.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.